The Foot of the Mountain, Week 10, Cinema Sins. Hey Mountaineers, welcome to The Foot of the Mountain. We're at Week 10, so we are 10% the way. It's weird to think that we are literally a tenth of the way through this, I was going to say experiment, it's not an experiment, a tenth of the way through this journey, and it's been an amazing 10 weeks, if not for the fact of just the people that I have virtually met in regards to on social media, and I've said it every week, it sounds probably like a stuck record where I'm saying that it's very humbling to speak to and message with and socially meet on Facebook and Twitter and places like that. These people that have amazing stories and people that are, you know, you only go by your personal experience. So everybody has their own personal story. And this podcast started out being what I thought was going to be about my story, about my struggles every week, this week being no exception. But when people are very, very candid and willing to share their stories, we've had it nearly every week, at least one or two emails of people telling us, you know, their stories. And I don't know whether this is a selfish thing, but it makes you realise sometimes that the things you worry about personally are nothing to worry about at all. There are people that are and have been and will go through things a lot more difficult than yourself. There are people that have been through horrors and been through so many disappointments and down moments in their life that you sort of think, well, actually, you know, I've kind of had it easy. So when I'm moaning and bitching about the fact that I've put a pound on, it should be a springboard to say to myself, okay, I think that's the difference between the times that I've tried to lose weight before and this time, that I've been a lot more positive when I've put weight on. Now, is that a good thing? I don't think you should be positive about it. It should knock you a bit. You don't want to feel happy that you've put some weight on, which I will. Let me get it out there. The reason I've called this episode this week Cinema Sins is we went to the cinema last night, myself and my wife. Excuse me. Ooh. And we went and saw It, which was a great movie. If you love horror films and you like being scared, go and see the movie. It's fantastic. We've got, in the UK, we have a chain of cinemas that that do like a loyalty card kind of thing. You pay a one-off monthly payment and you can go to the cinema as many times as you like. So now that our children are all off doing their own thing, the cinema is kind of what we do. If we get a chance, if I'm not singing at the weekend, we tend to look and see what movies are out, and that's what we do. We go to see a movie, and last night was It. The problem with going to the cinema, and this is another one of these programmed things, I think, in your mind, is the fact that I always feel I've got to have whatever's on offer at the cinema. Whether it's a hot dog or whether it's pick and mix is what we call it in the UK. I don't know what other people call it in the US or Australia, but where there is a variety of sweets, you get a bag and you load the bag up with certain different nibbly sweets, if you want to call it that. And obviously also things like popcorn and all of those other kind of things. Now, for me, that's part of the cinema experience, is to go and have a nice, you know, piece of food that's obviously not good for you. So last night, we hadn't ate properly during the day, so as much as I didn't really want it, I was feeling hungry. So one thing that a few people have said is that if you feel hungry, you should eat. But I had a McDonald's, and it wasn't until afterwards, and again, it's going, this is total disclosure. I don't want to lie to you guys. That's the thing. It wasn't just, I know, a little tick in my box. I didn't have a large meal. I just had a normal meal. But that was my wife. If I'd have been there on my own, I'm sure I would have had a large meal. But my wife said, no, you know, have a normal meal. Excuse me. But I also had 6 nuggets. Although I will say, and this is to McDonald's dangness or whatever you want to call it, because I was quite angry. 6 nuggets, it said in the box, and I only had 4. Now, I think if I wasn't on this journey and I wasn't on this trek where I've got this little piece in the back of my mind thinking you should be eating healthily, I would have stormed back in there and got those extra 2 nuggets. But I didn't. I was just a little bit pissed off, I must admit. for the sake of the fact that I think I paid for the 6 nuggets and only got 4. So that's by the by. The movie was really great, you know, but then I came home. I had to come into the studio and do a few things and prepare for today, do a few other little things. I went back in, my wife, because she works early on a Sunday morning. The kitchen was there. So I had a bowl of cereal. I had, there was some cold cuts in the fridge, so I had a couple of pieces of chicken. And went to bed thoroughly ashamed. I went to bed thoroughly thinking I've let myself down. I really let myself down. It's one thing to have a weekend off from singing, which is nice every once in a while to be able to do that. But the problem you have then is when I am singing, I tend to not eat from dinner time to when I'm singing because I don't want to feel full or bloated while I'm up singing. So if I'm not singing, I feel like the reins are off and I need to, that's something I need to deal with because I've got another weekend off next weekend. The upshot is I put £2 on this week. So the pound that I put on last week from the pound that I, the pound that I took off last week from the pound that I put on, I've put that back on again plus one. So considering this is week 10, and obviously week one was the week that I weighed myself. So in theory, I should be, if I'm doing the pound a week, I should be £9 off this week. And I'm not. So again, with the feedback and the emails that I get, a lot of people have said, don't get fixated on A, the scales, B, on, you know, as in weight loss, in keeping track of the numbers. Obviously, I've made a rod for my own back in the fact that the whole concept of this originally is £100 in 100 weeks. So I still want to try and do that. And I have said that if I shoot for 100 and I only hit 70 or 80, I'll be happy with that. I'm you know, it's not like I'm going to win a prize at the end of it if I hit 100 and I don't win a prize if I hit 80. In the end, it's all about the fact of just trying to lose a fair amount of weight. Now, I'm going to be reading an email a little bit later on that some would say is maybe sort of not for the squeamish. It's a brutally honest email that I will be reading a little bit later on. We also have a guest. I'll be doing the interview with Matt Aldous from the Musicians Podcast. So we're going to have a chat with Matt, which I'm really looking forward to. But first, just to let you know, on the website, footmountainpod.com, the merch page is now up and running. And this is one of the experiences of this whole thing that I've done. The fact that a few weeks ago now, I put some mock-up pictures of some T-shirts with the logo on, and Nadine Crowhurst from Australia said, if you did those in like fitness vests, I'll have some of them off you. And I thought, yeah, okay, you know, all the way in Australia. But if you look on our merch page now, you will see a wonderful group of people from the Collinsville Fitness Club in Australia, all wearing these Foot of the Mountain vests, and they look amazing, I have to say. Now, I've got all their names, so I wanted to give each and every one of them a shout-out. So we have Cindy Winston, Donna Howard Bullock, Jazz Rusky, what a great name, KC Jans, now I hope I'm saying that name right, KC Jans, Kristen Maggie, Leola Jans, of course, Nadine Crowhurst, now, Filene Turner, is that right? I hope that's right. And Ronnie Carroll. So thank you ever so much. You can go onto the website, footmountainpod.com. Just click on the merch page and you will see them in their glory. And if you would like to order one of those, all the information is there. We also have some t-shirts. We're hopefully going to get things like mugs and things like that coming up as well. But thank you ever so much to Nadine and her fitness club. They look amazing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to see, and to see people wearing something with the logo that I've done on there. It makes my heart soar. It's fantastic. So thank you very much, Nadine, and the rest of your club. And we will obviously be keeping in touch, because they are part of the Foot Mountain podcast group that's on Facebook, and also the fan page that's on Facebook as well, which you can go onto the website and see all the information on that. Right, so without further ado now, I'm going to pass over to myself to chat to Matt Aldous from the Musicians Podcast. So over to you, Pav.
Thanks, Pav.
Right, I've got a very special guest. Not only is he a conqueror of the internet and in iTunes with his new and noteworthy top-in podcast. You must be very proud of that, Matt. It's Matt Aldous, the host and creator of the Musicians Podcast. It's an awesome podcast. If you are a fan of anything to do with music, be it new music, old music, why you get into music, why you lose the love for music and want to get back into it, this is the podcast that you want to listen to. So once again, hello Matt, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, yeah. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm loving your podcast too.
So. Oh, thank you. This is a mutual, it's a lovely thing, isn't it?
It's a mutual podcast.
It is. Now, tell us a little bit about your story. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about your podcast as well in a while, but tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, it is mainly based around music, and I grew up in a small town in a place called Burnham-on-Sea.
I love Burnham-on-Sea.
Why?
That's the first place I ever saw Star Wars 40 years ago.
Was that at the Ritz Cinema?
It was at the Ritz Cinema, and just this summer we went back. We spent a weekend in Breen. I went back and the cinema is still there. I got teared up because the cinema was still there.
Do you know, they closed it down for a long, long time, and then some old guy decided that he wanted a cinema, so he bought it and refurbed it and turned it into a cinema again.
That is crazy. I mean, I've spent so many summers in Breen, Unity Farm and places like, oh my god. Anyway, sorry, I'm talking about myself. Carry on, sir.
Let's just talk about films all day.
Absolutely.
I grew up in Burnham-on-Sea and I went to school. I didn't have very many friends. I was sort of, there's the cliche bullied at school story. I sort of focused my life outside of school and things like that. So every time when I left school, I decided to move away and go to a college further away. And then I started studying graphic design. And at college was where I found sort of music. So I was maybe 16, 17, something like that. So I was quite a late bloomer in terms of music, but as soon as I found it, it just sort of skyrocketed, and that was the thing I wanted to do.
Right.
And then I was fortunate enough to meet so many talented people, and one thing led to another. I ended up being in bands and doing sort of, live sessions for Radio 1 and headlining shows to thousands of people and touring and being signed and, all the sort of the dream stuff. But over that period of time, what you find out is the music industry is very different to how you imagine it to be if you've had no experience with it before.
Mm.
And that just messed with my head so much, and it's all of my life was pretty much trying to sort of make it in my in music, in my own head, how I saw it in my head,
right?
And but it was never going to happen that way. I wasn't happy with just being a sort of, you know, semi-successful band. I wanted to be headlining Glastonbury and, you know, all of this sort of stuff. And so after a long time of doing that, maybe 10 years, close to 10 years, I sort of came to a realization that, you know, this was probably wasn't going to happen, and I was running out of steam and I was feeling really down all the time. And so I stopped and started focusing on something else. But in that period of time of my life, which was probably now only 3-4 years ago, something like that, I had to sort of struggle and deal with the fact that the sudden change in the trajectory of my life and where it was going was a completely different direction to where I hoped it would go. So that sort of brought me up to now. But through those whole 3 years, it was all just doctors, medication. See, like, I had big anger issues. My relationship with food, my relationship. I mean, I'm not what you would class as an overweight guy, but it was the relationship that was the issue for me.
Yeah. Did you completely turn your back on music then, or did you still carry on while you were feeling like that?
I tried to cling on as hard as I can, but the thing is once you have a successful band, or a band that is doing things that you sort of never dreamed you would end up doing, you know what work goes into getting to that point again. So when it stops, it's very difficult to, if you already feel down, it's very difficult to find the motivation to carry on going. But I was recording and writing and trying to sort of get something going, but I was really, I just hadn't admitted fully to myself that, you know, this wasn't actually, or perhaps this wasn't the path I was supposed to take.
Right.
I think as soon as I got to that realization, things really changed. And funnily enough, that, you know, that's probably, what am I on now? 14 weeks ago when I started my podcast, that was the moment that it sort of all clicked for me.
Right. Before we talk a little bit about you and doing the podcast, the one thing I mean, because I've dabbled in writing songs before. I've done that before. Your mindset when you were going through like your mental health issues, if you like, have you listened back to the songs you were writing in that period? And do you like those songs? Do you tend to shun them, or compared to the songs you were writing when the band was doing really, really well? Does it feel like a different period, or?
It's funny because it's not almost, when I listen to them, I don't hear anything I can relate to.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
Which is strange, because you'd think it would be the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, and I think that's because I was in a state of where my mind wouldn't let me accept the sort of what I was going through. It took a long time for me to admit that I probably needed a bit of help. And it was, if it weren't for my girlfriend sort of sticking by me sort of really adamantly, she had 1,000 opportunities to leave. But she didn't. She did, and that was probably the only reason I managed to get through to the other side. So when I listen to those songs, it feels like I'm listening to a period of time where I was just in complete denial of my own feelings and thoughts. So a lot of it feels probably it just doesn't feel genuine to me when I listen to it.
Right. Okay.
Over that time.
Okay.
You can actually listen to it. I've got that project is on Spotify. You can still listen to it. You can still hear it.
Oh right. Okay.
It's a project. It's if you search Tusk, which is TUUSC, you'll find those songs, and you can hear I don't, well, you probably won't hear what I'm talking about because it's from more from a personal thing.
Yeah.
But it's, you'll hear the what I was producing at that particular time, if you're interested.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So what gave you the impetus to start a podcast then?
Well, it was literally the fact that I realized that music had, and the industry, and sort of going through the industry and constantly being rejected, constantly facing negativity, constantly people telling you every day that not that, just try a little bit like this, and basically having too many fingers in the pie really just messed with my creativity, it messed with my positivity, it messed with how I saw the world, what I thought of myself, and so it really, that was really the I guess the moment when I realized that I don't want other people to feel like this, or I at least want other people to have the knowledge that the music industry has a massive emotional impact on music makers. And so I thought, I know a few people from making music, so I'll put the feelers out and see if anyone would be interested in talking about this sort of stuff. And almost 100% of people came back and said that they really wanted to talk about it. So I sort of took that as validation, and then that spurred me on to actually start it. And then once I started it, I think it's the fact that people were actually listening to it was the thing that drove me on to actually go, right, this is a thing now, and this is something I actually feel really passionate about, because beyond the beyond having the conversations, which are massively therapeutic for me, the rest of it, that the project side of it, the project management side of it, is something that I've always loved. I always love having something to work on, and I always love having something somewhere in my life where I can be creative or feel like I'm producing something out of nothing. And so that those two things married up just at the right time for me. And I think that's really the reason. I just don't want other people to feel like, if they're experiencing something similar, I don't want them to feel like it's a unique experience and there's something wrong with them. It happens to everybody at every level as well.
Yeah, because one thing as part of Pancast, which is our brand, we've been podcasting for like 4.5 years, and one of the very first podcasts that we did was one called Live at the Shed, where we would take local acts and local artists and chat to them. But it was more about their inspirations and aspirations. And the one thing that struck us very, very quickly is how much talent there is out there. But what I love about your podcast is I don't know whether this comes over as a compliment or not, but it sort of lifts the stone up and you see the not quite so glamorous side of it, and the fact that it isn't all award shows and shiny records and you know, loads of money. There is a grimy side, and a side, like you say, that you're not always going to be winning all the time, or you may not feel all the time that everything is for you. Sometimes it's against you.
I think it's really you have to go into it. Probably the biggest struggle is you go into the music industry, you go into wanting to be in a band almost as a child. And then you have real, if you gain any success, you have real adult situations thrown at you, and you don't know how to deal with them. And you just, you're sort of in this space where you're going, this is just so cool, I'm getting to do all of this stuff. But in the background, there's a lot of stuff going on in your own mind that is affecting you as a person, but you don't address it because you're too focused on the sort of the glamorous side of it, or the, you know, getting to go and play shows across the UK or whatever it is you're doing. But the podcast that I do is really, it's almost, I don't care about the celebrity. I mean I want to talk to people at all different levels of their journey. I don't care about, I mean, I've interviewed really tiny bands, and I've interviewed big artists, and it will always be that mix for me, because it is really, about showing how when you speak, you can speak to someone that is has been doing it for maybe maybe a couple of months, and they're not, you know, they barely have a fan base, and then you can go and speak to someone like the episode I did with Newton Faulkner, and talk to him, and you realize they're dealing with the same thing just in different capacities, and it's that's what I found fascinating, because I always thought I was alone in the way that I felt. In those circumstances, so it was great to be able to sort of talk to people, really.
Yeah. So do it physically, doing the podcast, does that help in regards to like your mental health and stuff? Does it keep it, as in, does it keep you busy, or is it the fact that it's a positive experience?
I think it's both, because it definitely keeps me busy, but. Which I guess you could say, you know, would distract me from whichever. But the fact that it is about the thing that sort of messed my head up, it is massively therapeutic. So the actual conversations do one thing, and then the admin, if you like, all the other stuff, just keeps my sort of motivation levels up. Because I know I've got to do this, and I know I've got to do that, and that's all got to go out on a Tuesday at midnight. So if I don't do it, then I've missed this deadline, and that needs. So I really like having that sort of to drive me forward, because it those times where you're not always winning and you don't always feel like doing something, you know that you have something that you have to work towards, whether you want to or not. And then once it's out, inevitably you always feel like, oh, this is good. I really like this one. And so yeah, I think it's probably a bit of both. Yeah.
So if there was a dream guest that you could have on your podcast, who would it be? Alive or dead? How about that?
Well, I think dead, it wouldn't be a very interesting conversation.
Well, let's just say they came back zombified for half an hour, and they were all.
You know. I think, I don't know. Maybe like Screaming Jay Hawkins. I want to know what he was like.
Okay.
Or Howlin' Wolf.
Right. Someone reserved, obviously. Then, yeah, someone.
But I think if it was someone living, I've got the luxury of having spoken to a few people that I really admire within the music industry, as artists and otherwise. But I don't really know. It's because it's not so much about the guests. It's more about their experience.
Mm.
I mean, if I'm honest, the size of the guest just helps the size of the listenership.
Absolutely.
More people discover
the
podcast. So, yeah, of course, like, if it was Bono from U2, it's gonna help massively in terms of listenership. But in terms of the conversation, I think it's just anyone that I think is... I think I've got one coming up, a guy called Joe. He's from a band called Amber Run. And he... They've gone through a really strange sort of journey, and that to me excites me, because I can't wait to talk about that with him.
Right.
So it's more about what I think, or have the perception I have of their journey excites me more than the actual person. Almost talking to a celebrity is way more nerve-wracking. I'm not, and it's sometimes uncomfortable for me, because I'm not that good at social situations.
Right. Right. It's funny because I do relate to that, because we've been lucky enough on our Live at the Shed podcast to speak to people like Kevin Godley of Godley and Cream and 10cc and Steve Norman from Spandau Ballet. And you almost feel sometimes, because we try and ask questions that are maybe a little bit different, but you feel that, especially someone like Kevin Godley, who's been in the business for decades, and he's probably heard every single question, whereas if you get somebody that is a local, you know, 21-year-old that is just going around with his guitar, they may have they've never had that experience before, so they're a lot more alert to questions. And that's no disrespect to Kevin Godley, we love speaking to him, but you sort of get that feeling that it's another interview, and they're going to ask me about 10cc. And
that's why I try to keep it conversational.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I try to keep it. It's a talk. It's not an interview.
And no.
I don't prepare questions. I just do as much research as I can, and try and just write down maybe 5 key points I want to hit.
Mm.
And that's how I do it, because then I always find the bigger guests come away, and now I'll get an email the next day saying I really enjoyed that, and it's because it was just a chat with another person.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the thing that I've found that helps sort of curb that.
Well, I think because one thing that that we do is we try and not prepare, whether it's a famous guest or it's not, because like you say, if you have a list of questions, it can almost sound quite robotic and you're just listing off the questions. But I think if you make it more conversational, we had Doctor from Doctor and the Medics, we spoke to him, Clive Jackson, and afterwards he said that was, I really enjoyed that, lads, because it felt like you were just having a chat as opposed to being grilled about when's your next album coming out, what's your favorite song you've ever done, you know, that's that kind of thing. So I totally relate to that. I think it definitely makes it sound more natural.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's just it's just more fun for everybody, I think.
Yeah. So what's the plans for the podcast? Are you just gonna carry on the way you are, or have you got any ideas to? Obviously you don't want to.
Well, I'm. It's just me. I can say anything I want.
Right.
That's I think that's what one of the best things about it is, you don't have anyone to answer to. I think I'm talking to a few different companies about giveaways and collaborations and things like that, but I don't really know what's going to come off in that respect. But and I'm talking to a few artists. I've got like a bunch of really good artists coming up that I'm fans of every single one of them. I've got a band called Meadowlark, who are a Bristol band. I've got Amber Run, Coasts, Banffy, I spoke to already, but I'm going to catch up with them again, and Bride. I've got, it's just so many. I think I'm talking to, I don't know if you know Lissy, she's a big sort of, I guess, like a pop country artist.
Didn't she do a song with Robbie Williams?
I think maybe.
I think she did one off of his. My wife's a big. I like Robbie Williams as well. I'm not going to send you like.
Definitely worth checking out because she's so good. So she's one. Mine and my girlfriend's like favorite artist.
Right.
Seen her a bunch of times, and I'm talking to her managers at the moment about having her on the show next year. So it's like I'm starting to plan further and further ahead,
which is good.
So it's which is really good. So I think I'm just gonna, you know, carry on as I am and sort of let it develop naturally, because I think the moment I try and sort of contrive things, you start to lose the magic.
Mm. And before we wrap up and finish, how proud and what kind of feeling did you get? I know it's only a small thing, but it's not a small thing actually, because iTunes is the main place that people get their podcasts. There's no dispute in that. So to see, you weren't just on the top of the music New and Noteworthy, were you? You were first on the main page of New and Noteworthy. It's like the holy grail of being up on that front page of iTunes.
It's insane, man. Like I was on holiday poolside and I got a message saying you're on New and Noteworthy on the homepage, and I was like, what? So I went and looked and I was there, it was, and then I went and looked in the charts and it was like number 2.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is mental. I'm literally sat I was sat in Barcelona, luckily for me, but not for everyone else. Luckily, I missed all of the horrible stuff that happened.
Right.
But I was sat poolside with a beer, and I got this message, and I was on the homepage of Apple Podcasts. So that was just mental. I mean, I think, obviously, I'm proud, but I think the biggest thing for me was just like this: the thing that I'm doing is valuable to people, and that was what struck me. And it just sort of takes you back and knocks you for six a little bit. I'm just really happy that the thing that I like doing, other people like me doing it too.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, that's as simple as it is. I try not to be affected by, like, you know, whether you get ranked here or featured here, but inevitably it's going to have an effect.
It's nice to see it up there, isn't it? It validates so it.
Definitely. Yeah. It just validates what you're doing and it makes you feel like less, you know, when you start doing something, if you do have issues where you don't have a very high level of self-confidence, before you start doing something, you think people are going to think I'm stupid at doing this. And then when the moment that you get that first thing where people don't feel like, or are showing you that they're like, you're not stupid, we really love it, that is a big moment in terms of believing in yourself, you know, being able to believe that what you're capable of is actually worth something to people.
Absolutely.
So I think that's the biggest thing that I took away from it.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, keep doing what you're doing.
And you.
Everybody is enjoying what you're doing, and I do look forward to it popping into my Apple Podcast app every week. So thank you so much.
Back to you.
Thank you so much for chatting. We need to meet up and have a beer one day, man.
Yeah, I've tried to convince you to let me come to your shed, but you wouldn't let me.
Oh, that's I can't believe that you would put that as a statement on a podcast now that I can't edit out. That's terrible.
I'm joking.
May I please state for everybody that's listening to this in the world, there is a space here with Matt's name on it whenever he'd like to come here and have a look, because I've literally... I mean,
it looks like a really fun place to be, you know. Like,
it is. Yeah, the one thing I will say in pictures, it looks a lot bigger than it is, which is one thing that my wife always says to me. But that's another question. But one day, mate, you please come along and we'll do a proper podcast with you. And it'd be nice to meet you, man. Just carry on doing what you're doing.
Yeah, you too, mate. You too.
Thank you very much. And now back to Pav. Thanks very much, Pav. Well, thank you very much as well also to Matt. You can, as we said in the podcast there, if you want to check out Matt's podcast, just go to iTunes, The Musicians Podcast. If you're a fan of music, a fan of new music, fan of undiscovered music, Matt has a really great podcast. So why not check that out? Right, before we go, I'm going to read this email. This is one of those kind of, it was actually a message that was on Facebook and has got a lot of love from a lot of the people that are following us. This is from Teresa Lynn Tabor of Oregon in the US. Like I say, it's a very honest and heartfelt email, so I hope I do it justice by reading it out. And please bear with us, it is quite a long message, but I think it's worth it in regards to just thinking about things and thinking about yourself and thinking about other people. So this is from Teresa. She said, I thought I would share my story and picture. I think it is essential for people to understand how different it can be for each person. At my heaviest, I was 300 pounds, and when I started, I was 286. I lost 120 pounds in 11 months. I was raped at 14, and that set forth a drug addiction and self-loathing. I never told a soul until 38 years later. My addiction led to being a ward of the court, a teen pregnancy, getting clean, married at 17, another child, and then divorced 14 years later. I decided to get obese in my mind that would keep men away and never be hurt again. I remarried the single most narcissistic man ever, and he sent me spiraling. I spent years staring down the barrel of a gun or holding a razor blade. Food was my best friend. I had diabetes, high blood pressure, and cholesterol. Could not sleep and non-stop pain. Then I found out I was going to be a grandma, and my doctor said I was going to die. I was going to have to go on meds for diabetes, so I asked if I could have 2 weeks to lower my A1C. I tossed anything processed, had one protein shake full of greens and a little fruit every morning, and then steel-cut oats a few hours later. Lunch, snack, and dinner. I ate every 3 or 4 hours. This is vital, as it keeps your metabolism burning. In 2 weeks, my A1C was low enough I did not have to take meds. Within 2 months, I eliminated 10 meds. I literally could barely walk, but within 2 months, I was walking 2 miles. Within 4 months, hiking 6 miles. And in 6 months, hiking 10 to 15 miles a day. They said my addictive personality was not good. I damaged my spine and hips. I did gain back some, but that is okay. I will slowly get back to where I was. My journey brought a lot of self-awareness and forced me to address my past. But I learned I loved clean food. I loved hiking. I do not feel deprived. It will be a lifelong journey to learn to love myself, and the rest will fall in place. My best advice is, do not compare your journey or pace to others. Never say just or only with loss. Any loss is a win. A gain is a lesson, and you go from there. Be honest and own what you do. Do not be a slave to the scale. Pictures and measurements are much more accurate. Try to find joy and not let this define you or become a super struggle. You will have stalls, gains and losses, and that is okay. Eat every 3 or 4 hours. If you undereat, you will gain. And drink half your body weight in ounces of water. Thanks for letting me follow your journey. Well, Teresa, thank you ever so much for that amazing message. As you'll see, if you go onto the Facebook page, you'll see she's got a lot of love for that honest and, like I say, sometimes quite brutal account of the journey that she's going on and the mountain that she's climbing. So, Teresa, thank you ever so much for the message. And if you want to leave us a message, or if you would like to come and join us, or you want to send me an email and let me know your particular mountain that you're climbing, you can email us at footmountain@hotmail.com. So that's it for this week. I'm just going to go through, obviously, how you can get hold of us. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, and please leave a review. I love reading the reviews from all over the world, just to hear, you know, what I'm doing right, what we're doing wrong, just how you're feeling about the podcast. We're also on Stitcher and Mixcloud if you don't do Apple Podcasts. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at Foot Mountain Pod. Or on Facebook, if you go to the groups section and just search for Foot Mountain, you'll see our Facebook group, and also obviously the fan page at Foot Mountain Pod on Facebook. And then the email, all the info, obviously, and much more, including the brand new merch page, is on our website, which is footmountainpod.com. The music for the podcast is by Rob Johnson. Rob took another little turn, unfortunately. I had an email from him just this morning saying that he's still in pain, so it's been going on for about 40 days now. So best of luck, Rob. Hope your health gets back soon. We will speak to him on a future podcast, I think, because it would be nice to... I was planning on speaking to him anyway, because he provides the music for the podcast. You'll also be able to buy some of his music on the merch page once we get that sorted out. But you can listen to some more of his music at robjohnsonmusic.com. So that's it for this week. I was thinking it was going to be quite a short little week this week, but it's been a show that's been jam-packed full, so... thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for the messages. As I've said before, it's very humbling. I was going to say, I promise I'm going to do better next week. But after Teresa's email, you know, you just roll with the punches sometimes, don't you? So it's good. I feel like the first 10 weeks are out of the way now. And it's almost like that is the... That is for the preliminary round, the first 10 weeks. We've got it out of the way. I think now's when the hard work starts. I think now's I've been pretending a little bit too long, and so now let's get down to it. So we're going to get down to it, and we're going to start striding up that mountain, I think. So thank you very much, everybody, and mountaineers, keep climbing. Don't forget to claim your free audiobook and 30-day free trial. Just visit audibletrial.com/footmountainpod. That's audibletrial.com/footmountainpod for your free audiobook and 30-day free trial.